OTB AM, Ireland's only sports breakfast show. Get the full show straight to your phone by subscribing to the OTB AM podcast wherever you get yours. The OTB Podcast Network with Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein-powered chicken bites.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
Okay, so the 2021 League of Ireland season is here. The President's Cup between Shamrock Rovers and Dundalk takes place on Friday, and that, of course, is followed by a full series of Premier Division games a week later. The season was launched this morning, and as part of that, we are joined by League of Ireland Director Mark Scanlon. Mark, good morning.
Morning, all.
Let's get straight into the big story of the last 24 hours. The situation at Dundalk has grabbed a lot of headlines. It seems there's a bit of uncertainty about who their manager is. What's your understanding about what's going on here?
Yeah, no, it's very clear from our side, really. The clubs, as part of the club licensing process, have to submit mandated persons in a number of roles, and along with that, there's qualifications that need to be in place. So Shane Keegan was submitted as the manager of Dundalk, and it's quite clear for us what the situation is.
Right, so it did seem from the press conference yesterday as if he wasn't fully sure that he was going to be manager, or that the club weren't fully sure. But from your perspective, Shane Keegan is manager and Filippo is just a coach?
Yeah, that's right, Jeff. Filippo and Giuseppe are our coaches there, and Shane is the manager. And Jim has obviously come in as the sporting director there as well. So, you know, there's a lot of experience and coaching knowledge and qualification in the club, and we wish them the best of luck this season.
Is there a sense that it's going to be a managerial collective there, that after the slap in the wrist financially from the UEFA situation last year, that they've had to move their cards around a little bit?
I think really that's an internal matter for the club in terms of the coaching arrangements. I mean, clubs now have a lot more complex situations now in terms of coaching scenarios than maybe it used to be. It's not always as straightforward as just a manager and assistant manager as it was in the past. So clubs, whether here or across Europe, have different roles as head coaches, sporting directors, technical directors and so on. So, you know, how they organise that internally within Dundalk or any other club within the league really is a matter for the club. But as far as the club licensing process is concerned, and that's here on the domestic licensing and also on the UEFA licensing, the mandated person of who the manager is itself is somebody with a pro license qualification, and Shane is obviously the manager.
What was the situation last year that Filippo Giovagnoli seemed to be manager? Was there a way around that, or what was the situation?
Well, what happens initially when a club changes managerial appointment is they then have 60 days to find a replacement within that as well. So there's always that window whereby when the club decides to change manager, either whether a manager has left or a manager is sacked by a club, that there's an interim period. So Filippo would have came in that role in the meantime, and then that grace period is now up. So as part of the submission for this year's club licence, and then it has to be a pro licence coach.
Right, that makes sense. Mark, this is your first full season in this role. It's a tough time to be starting any new gig, I'd imagine. But at the same time, it's a time where plenty of change is going to happen over the next few months. Does that give you a little bit of help knowing that things are going to change? And maybe if you want to change things, it's going to naturally happen anyway over the next little while?
Yeah, I think, you know, I knew when I came into the role last July that we had a tough job in our hands coming in the middle of a pandemic at the time. But, you know, we were very confident that there's significant support here in the association at board level with our new chief executive since Jonathan Hill has come on board as well. We have a lot of new staff come into the department as well in various different roles. So, you know, it's given us a lot of hope for the future in terms of building. Right now, obviously, we still have the difficulties of the COVID-19 pandemic, and with fans still out of stadiums, it's been increasingly difficult for clubs, obviously, to organise their financial affairs, in particular with the lack of gate receipts and revenue. But I think actually the challenges that we faced in the last 6 months, both as an association, the league itself, and then the clubs in general, has actually brought us closer together in terms of the collaboration and the work that's been done, because everybody has been very much in this together to try to get through the pandemic, to finish last season, which thankfully we successfully done, and to get us up and running ahead of the start of the new season. So I think there's a real air of excitement, optimism and enthusiasm from everybody at the minute.
I do want to chat about how you view the league going post-pandemic, post-vaccine, but for the time being, the relationship between the fans and the league is going to be through online streaming, through television matches, through Watch LOI. Is there any early signs of how successful Watch LOI might be this season?
I think, last season there was a lot said about Watch LOI and whether it was success, and people were trying to focus on subscription numbers. But I think what we found is the primary service last year was to make sure that the loyal fans stayed engaged, particularly those who had purchased season tickets pre the pandemic, and to make sure that their clubs were able to provide football for them in the short period of time that had to be organised. And I think that was a real success. And I think what was overlooked a lot of time was not necessarily the subscription figures, but the viewing figures. You know, there was a lot of times where there was 4 and 5 season ticket holders within a household who would have sat down then on a Friday night, a Saturday night or a Sunday and watched games, whether it was their own club or somebody else. So, I think two of the things that it showed us last year is, number one, how important it is to have the fans in the grounds and in the stadiums. And as great as it has been to have the games up and running, it's certainly not the same without the fans, and everybody looks forward to fans returning. But secondly, I think it's shown how loyal fan base we have within League of Ireland football, and how important the clubs are to a lot of people on a weekly basis, and they stayed engaged. They watch the live streams. They certainly engage with the social media content, both from the league channels and through the club channels as well. And, whether it's been podcasts or shows like your own as well that have, brought coverage to the league as well, there's been significant engagement. And I think that provides us with a lot of hope for the future, that not only will we keep the current fans engaged, but that we can bring the league to a wider audience as well.
So the figures that came out from last season, it was 11,000 paying customers for the service. Now this year, you're looking for a 15% increase in subscription, I think, plus a marketing budget of a sizable amount for this year. So what is the plan to use that budget to get to that 15% increase?
Yeah, well, we launched Watch LOI yesterday officially for customers now to be able to come on and purchase the season pass, the half-season pass, which brings us to the mid-season break at the end of May. We'll see a marketing campaign behind that from ourselves as a league over the next couple of weeks throughout social media channels in particular, to engage with that audience who are online and interested in watching the streams. But I think the real success of it will be down at club level as well, where the clubs have really got involved in promoting it to their own season ticket holders as well and their own fan base. And we're quite confident that we'll see an increase in the subscription figures this year, and that we'll see more people being engaged and watching it as well. But, we have LOI TV across the First Division and the Women's National League as well. So it's a much broader range of streaming service that we'll be providing this year, whereas last year was obviously primarily focused on the Premier Division. The First Division clubs done a great job of trying to bring their own home games to their own fans as well, and we've just tried to put that all into a league platform this year, where everything is under a similar brand and in the one place for fans, to make it easy for people to find and become familiar with. So hopefully the subscription numbers will grow throughout the season, and we're certainly urging as many fans as possible to get behind it, supporting their own club. You know, the revenue from all the subscriptions goes directly to the clubs as well. So by fans purchasing the streaming package, they're directly supporting their own club.
How disappointing was it that Soccer Republic has got pulled and that there won't be a highlight show on RTE on Monday nights?
Yeah, the highlights have obviously been very important over the last 10 to 15 years, and Soccer Republic and Monday Night Soccer before that was certainly something I always enjoyed watching as a fan myself as well, and engage with it. You know, hearing the views of the various different pundits as well on a weekly basis, dissecting the information from the games and analysing the performances. So, you know, it is something that we certainly still look towards in the future, but increasingly over the last number of years, and I think, you know, RTE Sport have said that in terms of the viewing numbers dropping off, fans are expecting the immediate coverage straight away. So they're looking for the goals on match nights. They want to see all the action as it's happening live. So I think it's important for us to make sure that with the streaming services now being provided, that we can provide more content immediately on match nights as well. The clubs have consistently said to us that they want to be able to put highlights out through their own channels the following day after a game as well. So, you know, that's another complication when we need to wait till Monday night for highlight shows as well. So I think we'll have a significant amount of social content this year. So it'll be on demand for fans, and reviewing what we do in terms of an overall highlights package for the league on a weekly basis is something we're still very much looking into. And it's not something I would say is now gone forever. It's just something that's not part of the current RTE broadcasting deal for this year.
Can we talk a little bit about what happens post-vaccine then? And if we get to a situation in the next year or two where you know you can have full stadiums. What are your plans? Have you got ideas? Have you got targets that you want to hit once people are streaming back into the grounds around Ireland?
Yeah, I think, we have our own internal targets, certainly in areas that we'd like to improve within the clubs. And certainly one of them, when we talk about grounds, is improving the facilities across the country. I think that's key, important point for attracting new supporters and a new fan base as well, to make sure that we can open the league up to a wider audience. You know, we'd like to see more families attend. We'd like to see more young kids, boys and girls, attending the men's leagues and the women's national league as well, as we try to grow the audience. So that's something that we'll certainly be focusing on post-pandemic, and hopefully when vaccinations have been fully rolled out, we can see fans back in stadiums. But there are a number of other areas that we want to work on helping the clubs develop as well. We certainly want to see a bigger increase in terms of clubs' involvement with underage football. The academy structures have been growing quite strong across a number of clubs, and we want to be able to support the clubs in terms of that growth. There's been significant amount of work put in by the clubs over the last number of years to have teams in the underage national leagues. We want to help the clubs in terms of their community development as well. We've seen some really good examples of clubs over the last few years and how they've engaged with their local community, different programs, you know, outside of the actual football side, to make sure that they, again, broaden the fan base and speak to a wider audience as well. So areas like that are things that we want to focus on and become much more of a service provider for the clubs, where we're actually helping them grow and develop as opposed to just organising the competitions and the league itself. So it's part of our wider plans and strategy.
Can we chat about the facilities then? Because obviously it's something that a lot of League of Ireland fans mention as something that perhaps is holding back the league from taking off and from attracting new supporters from coming to the grounds, that perhaps needs a lot of work done on it. When you talk about this big picture, how much government support, how much funding is going to be required for wide-scale improvements when it comes to facilities in the league?
I think it's no secret, really, that the facilities aren't really what we would like them to be. I mean, we certainly would like to have a minimum standard of facilities that all the clubs in the league at least meet the UEFA criteria for hosting games. If they qualify for European competition, that we don't have a situation where clubs are maybe having to look at a different ground to be able to play in European competition and so on. So that does take significant investment, and it does take time, obviously, to develop facilities. It's not something that we will be able to do overnight, but the best examples that we have seen so far certainly have been where there's been collaboration, whether it's with the clubs, ourselves, government, or local authorities within the area as well. A number of county councils have invested and been involved in grounds at League of Ireland level, and that's been hugely successful, because I think the key to it is investment into the grounds, that they're a multi-purpose community facility as well. And, you know, it's not just that it's exclusively for a League of Ireland club. We've seen really good examples where clubs have been able to use the grounds then for various different events, whether it's things like concerts that is a possibility for clubs to be able to host, or whether it's wider community events that can be involved in the stadium if the design is appropriate in the first place, conferences, meeting rooms, everything else that can go with that. So it's something that's very much on our agenda as an association, and something that we want to work closely with government, local authorities and the clubs in developing.
When you see the government get so strongly behind this World Cup 2030 bid last week, does that give you hope that they care about football, or does it have the opposite effect entirely?
Yeah, I think, look, the World Cup bid is certainly very much at feasibility stage at the minute, but I think it shows the ambition of government to be able to bid for major tournaments like this, or to be involved in the bidding process. And, you know, we've seen that we've done that successfully with the Europa League back in 2011, and we've seen it with the Euro 2020 bid. Obviously, you know, disappointing that the Euros didn't take place in the country last year. Hopefully they will this year, but I think government have supported all them initiatives, and I think we'll get significant support as we look to try to develop the infrastructure across the league as well.
Does it sometimes feel, though, that the government are very quick to get behind these blue ribbon ideas, where it will obviously be something that the entire country is talking about, rather than paying enough attention to investment in grounds like League of Ireland's that may not get national and international headlines, but may have better long-term effects for children and for the actual adult players in the league at the moment?
No, I think they're two different things, really. I mean, the international bids like that have a much wider scope as well, across, you know, fans coming into the country as well, an increase in terms of area like tourism and so on as well, that the government look at it, you know, as a wider bid. But, you know, we've seen great support for any of the funding applications that have come in for stadiums across the country. The sports capital grants applications received a record number of football applications, as you may have seen yesterday on our social media channels, and our facilities department and Walter Holleran, who looks after that area for us, has done a huge amount of work engaging with clubs, both League of Ireland clubs and grassroots clubs, and it's certainly something that we want to continue to improve as facilities, and I think there's a huge amount of support out there at government level and at local authority level for that to happen.
Where do you stand on the All-Ireland League? Is this something you're in favour of, and where is this at the moment in terms of discussions?
Yeah, well, I think the clubs have made it clear last year that they certainly wanted us to engage with the IFA. Obviously, there's a number of other considerations around that as well. I mean, currently, at league level, it's not permitted, as you know, within UEFA competitions that we can just join up and have a league. But it's certainly ongoing discussions that we're continue to be committed to, and we'll sit around the table and have any of them discussions that we feel is within the best interest of the clubs and the best interest of the league going forward. But, you know, any of the previous All-Ireland competitions that have been placed, I think were very positive. It's good to have that variety within our games as well. Competitions like the Setanta Cup in the past, you know, provided a different element to our fans as well, and an excitement for games as well. So we're very open to any competitions that we feel will help improve the clubs, bring a commercial value to the league as well, and hopefully again open it up to a wider audience. So it's something we'll continue to explore.
Is your feeling that the structures that have been put forward by the likes of Kieran Lucid, that they will be positive for the clubs in the league?
Yeah, I think, look, there's been various different structures and ideas put out there. You know, clubs have spoken to me quite regularly over the last few months in terms of some of their own ideas and tweaks and that as well. And as I said, I think it's something that's ongoing right now. The focus during the pandemic is obviously on the current season. You know, last year we didn't have much time to really elaborate on them discussions because the focus was on finishing the season. So I think we're in a really good place ahead of our own domestic season now at the minute. And that's the main focus at this moment in time. But the wider discussions for development of the league, I think, I don't think we'd rule anything in or anything out at this point, and we're certainly open to discussions.
Is the sense from north of the border that they're also open to discussion? Because it did seem as if they were very reluctant to engage for a period of time, at least.
Yeah, I think, look, the clubs that are playing in the Northern Ireland Football League as well have made it clear that they'd like to see some discussions happen as well. So I think broadly across the board, I think everybody's keeping their options open, and certainly, as I said, not ruling anything in or out. And I think it's something that will crop up over the next couple of years as we continue to have them discussions. But right now, the focus is on the current season.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
The OTB Podcast Network, with Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural, protein-powered chicken bites.